are addressing on a number of fronts, among which themselves captains of industry, we are also trying to encourage them to venture more into export-oriented businesses, because that is another way of getting more foreign currency. You know, our situation is a bit different from many, where the private sector has to rely on government for foreign currency, and government has limited revenue streams from which it gets the foreign currency.
And one of the complaints we are hearing, Honorable, is that those who are not exporting, like Coca-Cola, are saying now, ever since there was a change in policy, they are now struggling because they are not exporting anything, but they still feel that they are essential and they need that foreign currency.
But what change of policy now?
They are saying that a preference is given to those who are exporting as opposed to those who are actually importing.
No, that is not true. Actually, there are companies by nature who do not export, Delta being one of them. You know, the way Coca-Cola structures its contract, especially when I'm talking of the fizzy side, you go to Manicaland, I'm not sure if you have been there, Delta does not supply Manicaland with fizzy drinks. It's supplied by a company called, it's Mutare Bottlers or Manicaland Bottlers. The whole province is supplied. The Coca-Cola demarcates your market. So we can't go to that company and say they should export because it is demarcated. Now, we have got products that we have prioritized as essential products. When you look at things to do with sugar, mealy meal, cooking oil, those companies are supported by government, are prioritized, not to say others are not. And we know that most of their production is towards domestic market. So we'll never say to them they have to export in order to get foreign currency. That is not a correct position. Delta itself, I think in the last 3 weeks, has received more or less the largest allocation in terms of those who are outside fuel, if I may say. So that is not really a true reflection of what's happening.
You have said that the solution would be to encourage exports. Of course, there is also concern that Zimbabwe is importing some products that it should not be importing. Toothpicks, for example.
I was getting to that, actually. Mm-hmm. I was getting to that. We are also, now this is specifically from my office, we have engaged a number of private players in respective value chains, pharmaceutical, fertilizer, cooking oil, wheat, potatoes, all these are things that we are importing and which we should not be importing. So we have put them together to say from primary production up to the end consumer, where are we lacking? Why are we importing? What do we need to do? And we are working around the clock to identify people who can make sure that these value chains get back to where they were. I don't expect that we will be importing soybean in the next 2 years. We will significantly reduce the import bill in terms of crude oil next year, but we might not meet the production levels that will maybe lead to self-sufficiency. But we are saying, look at now, the agricultural season is here. We are importing fertilizer, and we have companies that have capacity. So we are looking at those things to say, all right, what ingredients do we need to import? Then we value add so that at least we are bringing production back home. And they are all coming to the party. I want to really acknowledge that all these players have come on board and they are all on the same page to say, really, we have to change the way we are doing things. So, yeah, we found a system that really wasn't sustainable, and we're trying to change that.